Good evening, welcome to your Friday Night Live. I have finished the audiobook of Peaceful Parenting. It is done. It is grim. The last bit about pedophilia is rough, man. It's rough. I gotta tell you, it's not a topic anybody likes to dive into. But it is done, and I have one appendix I'm still gonna do. And the appendix is common parental objections to criticisms of their parenting and how to overcome them. So I'm feeling better. It's been a bit of a draggy cold. I'm normally just a couple of days with a cold. It's not bad. I mean, I don't have any sinus stuff. I don't have a sore throat. It's just kind of raspy. That's all. It's just kind of phlegmy and raspy. You know, where you like, I got to cough enough that I got to clear the phlegm, but not so much that I eject a lung. You know, somewhere, that's an Aristotelian mean. Halfway between phlegm ejection and lung explosion is probably where you are. That's a sweet spot. It's a little tough to find. But there's nothing more appealing than a husband going, turning himself inside out, like corrugated iron EMP. So, yeah. Let's see here. Hey, Steph, how long do you think it will take for Bitcoin to be of use by almost everyone? Well, there's good news and bad news about Bitcoin, of course, at the moment. The capital gains tax is going up, and what that means is that they expect people to start making real money off Bitcoin. And so because the government's starting to expect people to take real money or for Bitcoin price to go way up, they're increasing the capital gains tax in Canada. They're moving it up to 66%. And I think there's a quarter mil exemption for personal people a year, but after that, for corporations and businesses, it's basically everything. And of course, as you know, they're floating this completely mental idea. I can't even imagine it would pass. It seems completely non-constitutional. Of course, I'm no lawyer, but that's my belief, which is to tax unrealized capital gains at 25%. Unrealized capital gains. Now, they say, I've heard a variety of things. Is it if your net worth is 100 million or more? But this would be completely mad. And that would mean that if you bought $100,000 worth of Bitcoin, it went to $200,000, even if you didn't sell, you'd still owe them $25,000. So you'd have to sell your Bitcoin to pay the tax on the Bitcoin you didn't sell. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, that's just taking such a wrecking ball to the economy. But they're doing all of that, I think, because they're anticipating the price of Bitcoin to go up significantly, and they want to wet their beak, right? So. Bitcoin to be of use by almost everyone? I don't think that that's a real thing. I don't think Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is, at least for the foreseeable future, going to stay in business-to-business transactions. And I think there'll be other mechanisms for dealing with smaller transactions, the kind of cup of coffee thing. I mean, I know that there's the Lightning Network and there's Bitcoin Cash and other things like that, but I sort of see, in the long run, I see an interface that if you want to buy a cup of coffee, you just have a bunch of different monies or different values in various cryptos, and there'll be a competition between cryptos to see which is the fastest and cheapest, right? Because the Ethereum gas fees are, you know, kind of prison rapey. And I say this with great sorrow, but I tried to sell books on Ethereum, freedomainnft.com, and the fees were more than the price of the book. And it's like, yeah, that's not real. That's not a good thing. I know that they're working on that. But I think you'll have a bunch of different cryptos in a wallet at some point on your phone. And if you want to buy something, the store will just say, okay, it's XY, you know, dollars in fiat or whatever. And then you can just wave the thing and the phone will figure out which is the cheapest and fastest at the moment. So there'll be a constant competition between. And it could also be, of course, that even if you're just in Bitcoin, I mean, if I were coding and doing this kind of stuff, I would say, okay, so the Bitcoin's going to transfer into another intermediary, right? So the Bitcoin will sell. Oh, I guess that's a problem, though, because even that Bitcoin sale takes a while. There'll be banks where people just trade, and it'll figure out the fastest and cheapest way to get the crypto going off a variety of platforms and so on. And I think that would be it, the way that it will go. You just need an abstraction layer so that it looks automatic. But all right. So I think Bitcoin is a safe haven. Bitcoin is the use of Bitcoin is, it's like a bomb shelter, right? I mean, a bomb shelter is not something that you use except to get away from a nuclear blast, right? Or I guess bombs as a whole. And so I don't, you know, Bitcoin right now, it's just it's a rescue, you know, it's a rescue vessel for the sinking ship of fiat, right? I mean, you see what's going on with the Japanese yen at the moment. It's really something. So, yeah, so the use case for Bitcoin is at the moment not to buy, but simply to protect from the collapse of fiat. So, all right. Hey, Zimf, you're in your new apartment. You have a bathtub. You can't pay me to shower. I've seriously dry skin. So for me, I put the oils in the bath and I come out like a piece of deep fried fish batter. But if I go into a shower, I've got to oil myself afterwards or lotion myself afterwards. It's a real drag. Yours, Mrs. Spot. So I like getting coated. You know how they dip those cars in to paint them? That's me going into my oils. Because if there's one thing I learned from Dune, you don't just want to be bald and evil. You want to be bald, evil, and well-oiled. Well-oiled. All right. Let's see here. Do not rock when your son has fallen asleep. You want a little bit of light jazz. Thank you very much. Hey, Kairos, nice to see you back. Thank you for the tip. Do Canadians' capital gains tax extend to direct crypto transactions? I don't know. You'd have to talk to an accountant, but if you take a profit and it can be measured, then I think you owe capital gains. All right. Congrats on finishing the book. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, Hong Kong Bitcoin ETF start trading on Tuesday. That's right. That is right. That is nice. Nice, nice, nice. All right. Oh, yeah, unrealized capital gains. It's crazy. It's like saying, well, the value of your house went up. Even if you don't sell it, you owe me money. I don't know. We're in the late empire acquisition of everything. All right. Hey, Steph, I'm at odds with myself. There is a girl I wanted to ask out yesterday. She's a waitress, and I was having lunch with a buddy, but I chickened out. I have seen her at a few sporting events in the past, and we've chatted a bit. Is it weird for me to now send her a message over Facebook? Would this be perceived as creepy? If it's not creepy, why do you think it will be perceived that way? You know, creepy is just a psyop, right? Right, you know that the word creepy is just a psyop. It's not like a real thing. I mean, creepy is not like, I mean, of course, are there creepy men? Yeah, there are creepy men, there are creepy women. But the word creepy is in the same category as real man. You know, a real man, I got 3 kids by 4 different men in a genetic improbability. I need a real man to step up and take. If you're not a real man, it's like, yeah, let me let a woman define to me what a real man is. It's hilarious. I mean, it's just a basic psyop. So it's tough, you know, it's tough to ask out waitresses because they're on the job. It's a little awkward, right? Because in a sense, you're their boss at the moment because you determine their tips. But in general, for me, yeah, like it's like the ick and real man and creepy. It's all just a bunch of noise and nonsense. I mean, if you like the girl, you ask her out. And if she's got a boyfriend or she's not interested, she'll politely refuse you. And then that's fine. Just let it go at that, right? There's nothing creepy about asking a girl out. Here's the thing, though. Women want you to be direct, obviously not intrusive, not invasive, not stalky, obviously. I don't need to tell you guys that. But women want you to be direct. If you're over solicitous and it's like, well, I don't want to ask you here, I don't want to ask you, then you look like you are not going to succeed in the real world. You look like you're not going to succeed in the real world because you're too, well, what if this and what if that? And you're too in your head and you can't just be direct. So I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever asked a waitress out. I don't think I ever asked a waitress out. So how would I go about doing that? So I would probably say something like this. I would say, when I paid the check, I would say, something like, I left a little note about my perception of your quality as a waitress. I also put my phone number in there in case you wanted to give me feedback on my quality as a customer, say over a coffee. Something like that. And that way the ball's in her court. She can text you. She can call you if she wants. It's not intrusive. It's kind of funny. I would probably say something like that. You can, you know, it's a 360 review. I review you as a waiter. You can review me as a customer over coffee because I like an in-depth performance review. And the performance review, of course, can last all night long, baby. Something like that. I mean, not the last part, but yeah, something like that. And that way she's got your number and she can call you if she wants. So that's my thought about it. And you guys can tell me. But I think that shows a certain amount of flair and imagination and confidence and all of that. So sorry, I'm not getting any updates here. Let me. Golden? Is that golden? Well, I think it's positive. It shows that you're, I'm not saying obviously do what I do. I'm just saying something like that. You want to think outside the box when it comes to asking a girl out. Like, it's fairly important that you don't ask her out in some awkward way and give the waitress your business card. Well, yeah, but then she may think that, what was the video you did on the real history of slavery and the illusion of freedom? So you're probably thinking of the truth about slavery, and the illusion of freedom could be a story of your enslavement. Are you saying that Bitcoin is not a risk asset, but a safe haven? I do say that. Many altcoins are going to skyrocket, but due to the cycle being more obvious, there will be heavy manipulation. Yeah. A lot of the altcoins are just pump and dumps, right? So, yeah, just giving her your business card isn't enough, because you need to say, you need to make it clear to a girl when you're asking her out that you are, in fact, the hell have I got here? There's something on my face here. What did I eat? My daughter made me a lovely omelet for dinner. I don't think it's an omelet bit. Oh, well, just mystery things on the face. Who knows? Could be something I ate 4 days ago. No. I had a bath. But yeah, you want to make it clear that you're asking her out, not let's hang out or anything like that. So putting the ball in the girl's court rarely works. Women don't like to take the initiative. You have to be the one who organizes the date. Well, but you have to get some interest from the woman in going out with you, right? And if the woman likes you enough, she'll absolutely take the initiative. So, I mean, in my experience, if the woman likes you enough, she'll take the initiative. See, you don't want to ask a girl out who's lukewarm, right? Because lukewarm tends to be a male name. No, like you don't want to ask a girl out who's lukewarm. You want to ask a girl out who's really thrilled to have the opportunity to go out with you, who's really excited about it, who's going to daydream about it, who's going to get herself all made up, who's going to tell her friends, who's very excited about it. He could be the one. Like, you just don't date some indifferent girl who's kind of, I'm not that busy that night or anything like that. That's a pretty sad. It's a pretty sad origin story. So if you're not totally excited to go out with her, she's not even going to send you a text saying it's time for your performance review, slave, or like it's time for your performance review or something like that, then what's the point, right? What's the point? I would just straight up ask her if she wants to go do something. It can be hard to balance a serious gesturing act some guys do. Well, but the problem is you're asking her on the job. But a waitress in the restaurant just doesn't have enough information to be excited about you yet? Are you kidding me? What? I'm sorry. Do you think that women can't scan you from top to toe the moment you walk in the room and know just about everything about you? Do you not know that a woman's scanning ability makes deep bone marrow TSA stuff look completely opaque? Do you not know that? See, women scan. Men scan, but we scan a lot for looks. But women scan real deep. They scan real deep. And she's going to see, if she's interested in you, she's going to watch you out of the corner of her eye every time she's in the room. Like, let's say she's a waitress and she's going to see how you chat with your friends. She's going to see the quality of your friends. She's going to check out how you're dressed. She's going to look at, see if you have a watch. She's going to check out your shoes. She's going to, if there's a, you know, not the worst thing in the world, if you've got a nice car, you leave those car keys on the table, right? So she's going to scan you and evaluate you and figure out if you're interested. Are you laughing? Are you a good joke teller? Do you have an easy way with people? Are you relatively engaging and enjoyable? Can you be serious if needed? Because we've all seen those woo girls, and you just know that's going to be exhausting because they can't ever be serious about anything. But can you be serious about things? And will you, if you catch her eye, will you smile? And are you polite and nice and all of that, right? So I'm not talking about dating apps. I'm just talking about a woman is going to scan you. So a waitress is absolutely going to have a massive amount of information in her head about who you are. Hired guns are paid to flirt with men / the customers, and a lot of simps don't seem to understand that. I don't know what you mean by hired guns. I don't think that waitresses in your average restaurant are paid to sleep with customers or flirt with customers, I mean. I don't think that's a thing. At bars, maybe a little bit, and certainly at strip clubs, right? The flirting is part of the money raking. So the girl is focusing on three things when she's evaluating. Number one, how does she feel about you? Number two, what kind of future could you have? And number three, will she be envied by her friends? Will you be high status to her friends, or will she be like, yeah, I know he's not much to look at, but you know, he's really funny or something like that. Yeah, smile goes a long way. Do you have directness and clear thinking and a buoyancy, right? So you got to have the masculine and feminine balance each other really well. So women are more detail oriented and women think more in the long term. And men are more big picture and think more in the immediate. And these are very compatible things, very compatible things. A woman brings depth and organization to the future for a man, and a man brings de-neuroticism and the deepening of the present. So she's just going to look, do you have the kind of energy that's going to balance her mindset? You know, men need to be reminded about the future, and women need to be reminded not to worry. And the worrying is great, and living in the moment is great, but we men, we don't have the metronome, right? We're basically the same. We're like from 18 to like 70, we're just basically the same. I mean, I'm doing the same workout. I do all the same stuff I did when I was 20. I literally do the same workout. I still like do an hour of pickleball and do my weights and some cardio from time to time. I'm just basically the same. I'm 57. So for the last like, you know, 37 years, I've been just basically doing, tank. I mean, I lost my hair so long ago. It's not like that's some big thing. I weigh a little less, but basically about the same as I did when I was 20, and like nothing really changes. I mean, you get a little creakier and right, a couple of injuries accumulate from time to time, but I mean, nothing really changes. Nothing really changes. I mean, physically, mentally, yes, but nothing really changes. Women got the metronome, right? Every month, lost an egg. Every month, lost an egg. Every month, lost an egg, or more than one, but they got the metronome. And they've got the 30 is a big thing. I've never found decades. Maybe 60 will be a bigger thing for me because 60 feels like a pretty old age. But men don't have the metronome. We're just these tanks that just roll along, and women got the biological clock, and the 30 and the 40 is a big one, and menopause is a big thing. Men just chungle on. We're like bulldozers, just moving on. So women help you buy a house and make it beautiful, right? I mean, men, you know, the joke about men, they live on a futon with a big screen TV and maybe an Xbox. That's about it. But I live deep in girly world. I'm deep behind enemy lines. It's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be. My wife will literally find the right soaps for my body. Now, of course, that's somewhat selfish on her part because she spends quite a bit of time close to it. But she will literally try to find the right. She got me. She, you know, do you know? Do you know? You don't just have to, you know, squeeze fish and chips and put the oil on your face. My wife gets me a night cream and a day cream. Did you know about these things? I had no idea. There are these things which, see, some of the creams are for repairing your skin at night and don't have any SPF. And some of the creams are there for the daytime and do have SPF. It's magic. And it made no sense to me. I mean, I used to just Jurgen, you know, but I mean, it's right. She's right. Also, the way you carry yourself, girls are experts at picking up body language. That's right. Yeah, I mean, for me, posture, Alexander technique and all of that, you don't want to be kind of slouched over and, you know, you don't want to be low energy. You want to be someone that is going to be fun to hook your life up to. Somebody says, I played my first pickleball game this week and it was a blast. You ready for a match, Steph? You might, I've been playing racket sports since I was 5. So sorry, I got a bit more than half a century on you. So you might want to play just a little bit more before we play together. So. Let's see here. Steph, I know this is off subject, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the campus issues across America. Protests. How do you view this? What do you mean? You mean the fact that the protests are intrusive and occasionally violent? I mean, there's a lot of cultures and places in this world, and I did The Truth About Free Speech many years ago. There's a lot of cultures and places in the world, they have no interest in free speech. Free speech kind of like a white male thing for the most part, and it certainly is a high IQ thing. So, we have everybody embracing postmodernism so that they don't have to defend the positions they like, right? This is the big lure. This is the demonic lure of postmodernism. Well, there's no such thing as truth. It's all subjective. There's your truth. And that way you can have your prejudicial bullshit and you never have to defend it. It's lazy. It's really sad. It's pathetic, really. And so postmodernism means that you don't have to subject what you like to an objective or external or rational or empirical analysis or any kind of opposition. So that's been the path of the American academia, of American academia and in other places as well. And so because postmodernism says you can just hoard your own bullshit and you never need to subject it to any external challenge, I view the people in academia, I don't just mean like everyone, as foundationally weak, extraordinarily weak, flaccid, boneless, spineless. Why would you want to be in a place where you couldn't test your ideas in the best opposition, right? Why would you want to be it? Like, why would you want to call yourself an intellectual and then get emotionally triggered by counter arguments and scream and shout and run people off with violence? I mean, everybody who's not on the left, right? You know, it was Steven Pinker came up with this. I don't know if he came up with it. He was mentioning this great thing. It's called the left pole. Like, you know, in the North Pole, everything that's not the North Pole is south. Like there's the North Pole and then there's everything else, right? There's no north from the North Pole. And so he's saying it's the left pole. Everything that's not specifically left is like far right, extreme right. Okay, that's just boring and lazy. And anyone who thinks that way is boring, flaccid, and lazy and should be kept as far away from the helms of intellectual might in society as humanly possible. peacefully, of course, right? So he was saying that, like, the real censorship has been the incredible bigotry in the hiring in academia, right? Like, 2% or 3% of academics in most major institutions are conservatives, right? And most of those are guys in their 80s or 90s. So, you know, half the population is conservative, and yet only 2% of academics are conservative, and none of the new hires. So zero. I mean, imagine if half the population was black and there were no blacks in academia, people would lose their minds. And rightly so, that would be evidence of significant bigotry. But the fact that half the population is conservative and there are no conservatives in academia, I mean, there are some in engineering, there are some in the harder sciences and in math and physics and so on, chemistry, some in biology, but biology's gone pretty woke. And there's no, like, people have no problem with that. So the idea that they're into diversity is really, really sad. I think diversity is actually a good thing. I've really, really enjoyed sharpening my ideas and arguments in the face of massive opposition, which has been going on now in my life for like well over 40 years. You know, if people want to debate UPB, people want to debate RTR, people want to debate whatever I've got to say, thrilled, you know, bring it on. I've almost never refused a debate. Why? Because I don't want to be an effing moron. And I don't want to live in an echo chamber. And I don't want to just think I'm right because feels. I mean, that's just really sad. It's just really sad. And it's such a confession of weakness to not give those you teach exposure to the opposite case. I mean, that's just a confession that the opposite case is something you can't argue. No, whether it's right or wrong, you can't argue, right? So you just define it as evil, as corrupt, as bigoted, and just you use sophistry to drive off opposition, then you call yourself some kind of intellectual hero? I mean, that's so sad. It's so pitiful that for this not to be commented about it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. And the fact that people would send their kids to these ridiculous institutions of circular, so it's just circle jerk reinforced prejudice. It's all it is, right? And it's an open confession that they can't answer the arguments of those who oppose them because they just use violence to drive them off. Of course. Of course. I mean, it's like an intellectual mafia mentality. Like, you can't compete, so you're just going to use violence, right? Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah, Thaddeus Russell. He said it was possible that you could get a tree pregnant. Yeah, Stephen Hicks and I did an interview on postmodernism. I was writing about postmodernism in my novel called The God of Atheists a quarter century ago. I was writing just how absolutely appalling it is. Is there any way you can put out the future, the present, almost, and the Peaceful Parenting book out on MP3? I prefer putting files on my old iPod. And it can't take the RSS feeds. I don't understand. Don't you have a computer or a phone? I mean, unless I'm missing something very important, you put the feed in a feed catcher, it'll download all the MP3 files, and then you put them on your iPod. I don't understand. What's the problem? They are out on MP3. You download them to your computer and you transfer them to your iPod. Again, if I'm missing something, please let me know, but I don't understand why that's an issue. Steph, would you give online dating a chance if you were in your 20s? So many men say it's not worth it in the current year. I couldn't answer that. My wife is a total sweetie. Yeah, she's incredibly thoughtful. It is chapstick, yeah. No, I did a day and a half of carrot cake and I just had to let it go. Have you heard about the furries taking over a middle school? Absolutely. Why not? Why not? Because it's kind of funny how people say, well, everything's subjective and nothing is true and you can be whatever you claim you are. And then they think that there's an end to that process. Like once you let go, it's sort of like let going or jumping out of a hot air balloon and then thinking you'll be able to slow your descent with your willpower. Like once you jump out of reason and evidence, why does anyone think there's an end? Like that things aren't just going to get crazier and crazier. Like why do you, like you've already abandoned reason and evidence. Do you think there's an end point to that? Whoa, okay. Well, we wanted to get reason of evidence. We wanted to get rid of reason and evidence. No more debating. But we didn't want things to get totally crazy. It's like, well, based on what? Like what? You think there's some midpoint between sane and crazy? As I'm not talking about furries in particular, right? It's kind of funny to me. Well, things are getting really crazy. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, that's what happens. The slippery slope is real. Slippery slope fallacy is absolutely real. And our entire modern society is there to make sure that in the future they never say, well, that's just slippery slope argument. It's like, well, remember the early 21st century? So the slippery slope argument is real. So, yeah. Get rid of reason and evidence. It's like saying, well, we're going to replace science with superstition, and then, you know, what was it? The guy who founded the Wiccan movement in the 1950s was just some creep looking to hire young women into his BDSM sessions. And it's like, yeah, but once you let go of reason and evidence, it just gets crazier and crazier until society's like, oh, shit, that's why we had the reason and evidence thing. Yeah. It was kind of fun for a while there, but kind of snowballed on us, didn't it? Now people are claiming to be trees, and we have to, what, indulge them? So you let go of reason and evidence, and what happens is the stuff that you like, that you can't defend, you then don't have to defend because you just let go of reason and evidence. All the ideas that are opposed what you are emotionally or historically used to, those ideas... The stuff that flows with your prejudice, yeah, they don't have to be defended and you feel great. Oof, thank goodness I can just roll with my prejudice and I don't have to feel uncomfortable hearing opposing ideas. So it's like a drug. It feels great at the beginning. It feels great in the beginning, right? But then what happens is there's going to be people a whole lot crazier than you. And how are you going to oppose them? Well, it starts as a slippery slope and it ends up as a complete free fall. And things get crazier and crazier. And, you know, I mean, the reason and evidence people like me, the reason and evidence people, you know, we're right here. We're right here. Turn the fuck around and come home. Just turn the fuck around and come home. It's not that hard. All you have to do is say, yeah, I kind of got bribed with prejudice into accepting craziness. But now the craziness has gone too far. It's like, okay, well, the only way you can rein into it, the only way you can rein it in, the only way you can tame it is to come back to reason and evidence. Come back to logic. Come back to debate. Come back to facts. We're right here. We're one click away. Which is, we're right here. The whole salvation to all of the craziness right here. But, there's a catch. And it seems to be, I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why. It's not false humility. I have no fucking clue. I genuinely don't know why people don't want to pay the price of returning to reason. I don't know why. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. Does anybody know what is the price of returning to reason? What is the price of returning to reason? I mean, the price that people would rather, and sometimes it seems like they would rather suffer unto death than return to reason. So what is the price? Humility, absolutely. Humility. The humility to say, what? Taking responsibility for being unreasonable? Yeah. So the humility to say, what's that old, it was an old Happy Days where the Fonz was like, I was wrong. Sorry. I was wrong. And you told me I was wrong. And I called you a Nazi. I told you. You told me I was wrong. And I called you a bigot. Right? And I insulted you. And you were right. But the reason and evidence thing, right? Have you seen that meme where there's a man and a woman, it's a little picture, man and a woman, and underneath it is, I'm sorry. And the man just draws a line to, I'm sorry, and the woman squiggles all over the place, right? Is it a little harder, on average, is it a tiny bit harder for women to admit that they're wrong? To say, well, I was bribed because I didn't think this through. I thought that only the prejudice that I liked would be saved by not having to do the reason and evidence thing. And it turns out that the demons I thought would only serve me well, they end up ruling me. And this is 101, right? Sorcerer's Apprentice. This is the oldest story in the book. I'm going to command this demon. Oh no, the demon ended up commanding me. The demon is going to offer me things that I haven't earned, such as being right. Oh no, I sold my soul to the demon and now he's making the world hell. Oh, and it just seems like there's just no end to people's thirst for this completely retarded lessons that we just have to learn over and over and over again. People can't even say, well, maybe that safe and effective thing wasn't quite all it was touted. They can't even say that. So, yeah, it's just... people are just going to have to learn their lesson. And, you know, we're right here. Anytime you want the medicine, medicine can be a little bitter, but man, you're going to feel fantastic afterwards. No! Or is that the Bloom County by Brooklyn Breathed? It's a very strange name. Bloom County was a pretty funny cartoon from way back in the day, like a little comic strip. And I remember one, I read this as a teenager, and there was this penguin that was trying to lose weight. And he was like, I'm going to go with the all toast and herring head and avocado diet and so on, right? Or some crazy stuff, right? And one of the more reasonable characters was can't you just eat less and exercise? No, absolutely not. I need a magical... yeah, Opus the Penguin. I need a magical solution to losing weight that doesn't just involve eating less and exercising more. It's got to be magic. Do you ever think these people worship science because then they don't have to think or have a conscience? People worship science because they're bullies. Shut the fuck up and obey me generally comes in a lab coat. I mean, let's be frank, right? Can't stay, but always a great education from you, Steph. I never feel sending your donation your way is unworthy. You truly are a gift to me, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you. That's very kind. freedomain.com/donate. I really, really do appreciate your kindness. Yeah, so science is just, it's just the new cult. It's just the new superstition. It's just the new witch doctors. The witch doctors used to have like bones through their noses and painted balls, and now they have pocket protectors and lab coats, right? It's just, trust science means do what I want or I'll verbally abuse you. Right? That's all it is. Like, literally, they say, don't question the science. I mean, how absolutely brain dead do you have to be to say something as utterly ridiculous as trust the science? Trust the science. Oh, wow. That's really something. That's really something. Well, can you release the source data? No. Oh, can you release the modeling parameters? No. How about the test data for the vaccine? No. Trust me, bro. Yeah, this is the ultimate sophist statement. So, but you always need some way to dress up your sadistic bullshit in finer terms, right? God told me, Fauci said, the science says, scientists say. It's like, can you make the case yourself? Can you at least give me the source data to look through? No. I mean, my mother was, I mean, I've had lots of reasons to doubt all this nonsense, but my mother was under the tender, loving care of a lot of mental health professionals. Experts agree that, right? I mean, it's like every time a new toothpaste comes out, all of the dentists are staring at the phone. Call me, man. Call me. I've got such a strong opinion on this one. 98% of climate scientists. That was all bullshit. Oh, are you saying you know better than all the scientists in the world? And it's because people don't know the history of the science. The history of science is absolutely chock to the fucking gills with lies, corruption, bullshit, menace, sadism, corruption of every kind, because it's populated by human beings generally paid off by very powerful interests. Hey, man, let's say fat is the issue, not sugar. Oh, got paid for that shit too, right? Oh, fucking food pyramid. Sorry, I'm going to swear too much tonight, but this stuff pisses me off. All of the doctors well paid by the tobacco companies to say tobacco was great. Doctors still refer to abortion as healthcare. Doctors handing out these SSRIs like nobody's business. Yeah, it's a new, same bullshit, slightly more elegant way to tell people to shut the fuck up and obey. Trust the science. Okay, tell me about the science. Well, I don't know, but there's a bunch of scientists who stand to make a huge amount of money if you trust their science. It's like, the fuck would you trust? I trust scientists about as much as I trust marketing executives. Marketing executives are paid to promote their fucking products, and they do it. Ooh, Coke is bubbly and fizzy, and here's a beer commercial with some girls in bikinis, and this car is very cool. And if you wear these glasses, you'll look like Armand Asante. And it's just like, it's just bullshit. I mean, they're paid to make shit look good. I mean, do you think that some ad executive, if some company comes up and offers him a $10 million contract to promote his product, he's like, well, I've got to first find out if the product is actually really good. It's like, no, fuck, yeah, give me the money, man. I'll blow the consumer if I have to. You know, I mean, it's sort of wild, right? Because it wasn't that long ago, really. I mean, less than two generations and a bit. It wasn't that long ago when scientists were revealed as about as sadistically evil as you could conceive of, right? I mean, ever heard of Joseph Mengele? Ever hear about the experiments that were done in the concentration camps under the Nazis? Do you ever hear about what happened? We just talked about this the other day on a donor live stream. The Japanese Imperial Army from hell. It's like, can you imagine? Imagine just handing in a bunch of scrolls to a math professor and saying, before it was proved, I proved Fermat's last theorem. And he'd be like, I don't see the proof here. I just see it. Trust the math, man. Trust the math. It's like, no, okay, I need to see the proof. I need to see the work. Trust me, man. And what were we always told? What were we always told as kids, right? When you hand in your math home, I don't know if they still do this. You had John Money and Kinsey doing weird sexual experiments on children. Yeah, it was just in Freud. Yeah, show your work. I mean, always show your work, man. It doesn't matter if you had the right answer. You got to show your work. It's like, hey, man, the fact that I have the right answer, I shouldn't need to show my work. But I was always told. And once you marked down significantly, even if you had the right answer, if you didn't show your work, right? Show your work. I'm going to just trust, even if you've got the right answer, show your work. That's what I was always told. And that's about inconsequential shit, such as grade 8 geometry. Show your work, man. Quadratic equations, show your work. Yeah, you won't always have a calculator in your pocket. Yeah. So I was always told, show your work. Show your work or it doesn't count. Show your work or you fail. Even if you got the right answer, show your work or you fail. So then when people come to me with all kinds of quasi-scientific, heavily compromised bullshit, I'm like, hey, man, if it was really fucking important for me in grade 7 and grade 8 to show my work, how about you already took my money, you already took my fucking tax money, how about you show me your work? Show me your work! You failed the test because of that. Yep. You're wrong. Even if you're right, if you don't show your work. And I'm one of these people, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, man. I'm one of these people who's like, what do you mean trust the science? I had to show my work when I was 10 years old. I had to show my work or I failed. Now, this shit, whatever the scientists are talking about, a little more fucking important than me trying to use the opposite angle theorem or the triangle inequality relation in geometry when I'm still learning how to shave. No, the show your work stuff, I agreed with it. I mean, I know you guys are pissed off at the show your work stuff. Personally, I agreed with it. I agreed with it because otherwise you just phone, hey, what's the answer to problem 4, friend? 42. Okay, 42, right? So you did actually have to show the work, right? You had to show the work so that you could show that you understood the requirements, that you really got the math, and that you weren't cheating, right? Probably teachers getting jealous because you could do the math in your head. No, I've got, I mean, obviously, I don't like most government teachers, but I get the need to show the work, right? Sokatoa. So, yeah, show the work, man. I got failed when I made claims that I had an answer and I wouldn't show the work. Right? I was threatened with being locked up in that fucking airless space dungeon of a school for another year. I was threatened with losing a year of my life. Proof of work, it's how Bitcoin runs. Yeah, it's true. Not proof of stake, proof of work. Proof of stake just makes me hungry. Or it's how you kill vampires, I guess. So, yeah, show your work. Show your work or you fail. And I was told that in math. I was told that in science. I was also told that in history, I had to show my bibliography, I had to cite my sources, and when I wrote essays on novels, I had to show my work. I think that's a good point, Doug. Show your work is also really handy when you arrive at the wrong answer. You can retrace your steps and see where you went wrong. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so show your work or you fail, right? Wasn't that hard, was it? So then people make all these claims like, the Earth's going to explode in 12 minutes, or you get this vaccine is safe and effective. I'm like, oh, shit, man. Whew. Well, all the science teachers said, show your work or you fail. That's science, right? Don't just accept answers. You got to figure out how people arrived at those answers or you fail. And when I was threatened with losing a year of my life if I didn't show my work, and then people come to me with all these conclusions that coincidentally usually involve the transfer of billions of dollars to private interests, I'm like, oh, okay, so you're going to show me your work, right? And if you don't show me your work, you fail. So you'll show me the data behind this hockey stick and all the calculations, and you'll do this and you'll do that, and show me all of the, like, you'll put this out to the public as a whole and let knowledgeable amateurs or people not fucking corrupted by the entire movement of money all over the planet, not talking about anyone in particular, but science does have this problem, as does everything else. Lee says, I think I'd appreciate show your work if it didn't come in the form of a bad teacher. Haha. So I do agree it's helpful as a practice. I mean, come on, man. We all do show your work, right? Go to a dentist, you want to see a couple of things on the wall, right? I mean, when you go to a new restaurant, don't you look up the reviews? It's show your work. See a picture of the food you're going to order on the menu? That's show your work. Show your work is everywhere. If some guy says, hey, man, I'll do your complicated taxes, don't you want to know if he can do complicated? Because he's got to show his work. He's got to show that he's done something, right? Some woman is 45 but had got a bunch of Botox to make her look 35, and you want to find out her real age if you want to have kids, because 45 is too late. Show your work. How about a fucking resume? How about a resume? Isn't resume show your work? Show your education, show your history, show your experience, give me your references, show your work. Life is show your work. I'm showing my work right now, doing philosophy. Life is all about show your work. I'm fine with that. I think it's great. Don't take people at face value. Show your work. Wait, there's a 6-inch rule? Sorry. There's a 6-foot rule for a pandemic? And there's a mask that on the box says it doesn't work against coronaviruses, but we're supposed to wear it against coronaviruses. Okay, show your work. Show me the data. We gotta stay 6 feet apart, and that's going to solve the problem? I mean, the people who didn't want to shut down travel from China, which is, you know, I'm not a geographer, but I believe it's a little bit more than 6 feet away from the United States. People who didn't want to shut down travel from China now want you to stay 6 feet apart. Show me your work. How about communism? Show me your work. Show me the facts and data by which you come to your conclusion. And, of course, Marx died in a futile quest for that, with reality and the growth of the middle class completely destroying his theory. Fascism. Yeah, show the work. Show the work. We're here to protect you against communism with totalitarianism. Oh, great. Yeah, good fucking job. Haven't you done wonderfully? So yeah, show your work. And you understand, the people who are violent and censorious don't want to show their work. Right. People who don't, like people who gave me the bomb and death threats because I wanted to make particular arguments they didn't like. I'm happy to show my work, happy to show my reasoning, my arguments, my steps. I mean, my books are all reasoned, closely argued out. I got entire syllogisms to prove my positions, building from first principles. I got a whole 19-part introduction to philosophy series. Here's how I build all of my arguments up from very first sense perception. Yeah, show your work is anathema to those who desire the unearned, right? Well, he impregnated me and then he left me. It's like, okay, show your work. Why did you think he wasn't going to leave you? Well, he was a great guy. You know, he had all these markers of stability. Okay, then why did he leave you? Well, he just turned into a bad guy. But then show me your work. How did you think he was a good guy? He just changed. It's like, he just changed his, I don't want to show my work. Show me the work. Show me the money. Show me the work. Show me the work. Show me the global warming shit. Show me the vaccine trial stuff. It's just, yeah, show me the ingredients. How about we just start with the ingredients? Or, I don't know, a product insert that you can read, right? Just anything, right? Just show me the work. That's what I said back at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, normal vaccine takes 10 years with a 94% failure rate. You guys did a totally new technology in a couple of months. What steps did you skip? Just tell me. And nobody would, right? Nobody would say, well, normally you do this, this, and this. Here's what we skipped. And it's like, okay, well, if you normally need 10 years and you did it in a couple of months, by definition, you don't have long-term data. So how can you say it's safe? Like, this is not complicated, is it? I mean, this just, show me the work. And also they wanted to keep the data hidden for like, what, 75 years? Come on. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? Show me the work. Show me the work. And I don't know what it is that happens with people that their consciousness is so fragmented, right? Their consciousness is so fragmented that nobody seems to remember that you got in serious shit for not showing your work as a kid. As a little kid. As a little kid, you got in serious shit for not showing your work. But apparently, adults can inject just about everyone on the planet with some experimental stuff. They don't have to show their work. Now, for you as a kid, figuring out some bullshit, useless geometry, that's essential. And will take a year of your life if you don't get that shit right. Show your work or you're locked in here for another year. Because it's really important when you're 8. When you're adult scientists, injecting people with novel technology, oh, that's not important at all. I mean, do people not remember? I mean, is everybody's consciousness, it's weird to me. Like, is everyone's consciousness so fragmented that they just don't remember any of this stuff? They don't remember that you had to show your work and that was absolutely essential to gaining the trust of the teacher that you knew what the fuck you were doing. Show your work. And then they try to pull all of these innumerable scams on us and they won't show us the work. I mean, help me understand, like, why do people forget all of this stuff? I mean, we lived, you know, for those of us who went to university, we lived for like 20 years with show your work or you fail, show your work or you fail, show your work or I don't believe you, show your work or it's bullshit, show your work or you're cheating. It's the essence of science. Show your work. And then you go to the, quote, experts, and you say, hey, great, you know, all my science teachers said, show your work or you fail. Show your work or it's bullshit. So, okay, you're a scientist. Great, show me your work. No! Then it's bullshit. It's not worth evaluating. Schools are so incredibly abusive, says someone. It could be total dissociation. I don't know. I guess maybe people don't want to think, because it does reveal that it's abusive, right? Because if scientists don't care about show your work, then science teachers are just bullying you, right? I've forgotten a lot from my school years. Well, yeah, 95, 98% of all the stuff you learn in school is completely useless. And so you do forget it because you've got to make room for more important things. which is just about anything. But you don't, when I point out the show your work stuff, you guys don't like, oh, maybe that was a thing. And I mean, you remember it, right? Like that, right? When I say, oh, show your work was totally important, you remember that, like, right away, right? So it's not like you forgot it. Maybe, yeah, they don't want to see the power structures that are. That the show your work is just how you bully children, not how you hold actual adults accountable. I don't know. I don't understand why people just don't remember their childhoods in this way. I'm not trying to nag you guys. I just, in general, I find it. But they said show her. Like, this level of detachment, and it's like, wait, you're supposed to have proof of this stuff, right? I mean, it's science. Therefore, there's got to be data behind it. Like, trust the science, fantastic. I'd love to trust the science. So let's see all the data. Because that is science. Science is not, do it or I'll call you some bizarre death-dealing denier and killing granny with your hesitancy, right? That's not science. I don't know. I mean, there was some Russian autobiography I read many, many years ago where the review on the back was, you know, it's like a window opened up to this guy's childhood 40 years later. He remembered everything and then it closed again. And I remember everything from my childhood. I remember everything, almost every day. And I have this connection to like, okay, so then... So show your work is important. And if it's not important, then we need to take it out of schools. If trust me, bro, is fine to answer, then everyone should get an A. Right, but they don't. They bully you with it. The teachers and parents who send their kids to these schools have an incentive not to connect these dots. Well, yeah. So what? But you can connect these dots. They don't own your brain. Yes, when you point it out, I remember it immediately, but without you pointing it out, it doesn't come to my mind, right? Thank you for pointing this out. It's a fantastic revelation. And you know, if we'd started the show at 7, it wouldn't have happened. It would be some other fantastic revelation, but not this. Yeah. It's wild, really. When it's wild, when you just realize that it's just all about bullying and power and control. Zim says, I only recently, within the last couple of years, started to remember my childhood and the dots that made things so obvious. Someone says, yes, the COVID-19 amnesia and lies haunt me every day. No one talks about it. I did have to show my work. It was all obvious lies. They quoted marketing brochures as if that was concrete scientific evidence. Well, I mean, the media pushing it all, and the media made their money from pharmaceutical ads. What is it, New Zealand and America, the two places that allow that stuff? And I mean, there was so much money involved. There was so much. Yeah, I did shows on the falsified data. I did shows on the corruption of science and the failure of the peer review system. And I was writing novels about this 25 years ago. So, I mean, there was so much money involved, and everybody had such a massive incentive to lie about it. I don't know. It's so funny, you know, because. In just about every science fiction video game, book, and movie over the past 100 years, who are the evil guys? Who are the evil guys? Leandri, right? Who are the evil guys in just about every big bad corporations, right? Sure. The corporations are corrupt. The corporation is funding the RoboCop. The corporation is funding the off-world thing that's actually exploitation. The corporation wants Ripley to get eaten by an alien rather than lose their spaceship. Right? So it's like everybody was trained for decade after decade after decade about how evil these big bad corporations were. Did it take? Nope. Didn't matter. See, everyone thinks that propaganda works. It's like propaganda just makes you susceptible to the latest bullshit. It doesn't work in the past. It's just you become then like a fish with a hook. Just wherever the fisherman wants you to go, that's where you go. Could the cause be the hypocrisy of the teachers? They are the authority figures and are not required to show their work. Think of the professors who will fail you if you dispute the wage gap. So the students are conditioned to just accept the lack of proof from those in authority. Thus, the science is hooking into these historical exploits.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, but show the work. I need to see the data. I need to see the data or it's not true. I need to see the data or you fail. Right, evil corporations until they offer you a case of donuts or a burger, yeah? Slice of pizza for your soul. So, I mean, I'll give you an example, right? So, without getting into details, I was involved in creating a business plan. You ever had to do this? Projections could be sales projections, when the product is going to be shipped, when the code is going to be completed. You make a case for something, right? Yeah, Fallout had that. All the corporations planning nuclear war, and then the good communists fighting them and claiming people who don't follow communism as insane. I took that line a little different. But the idea that the idea that the corporations are making money from nuclear war, I mean, that's such an well, they can't talk about governments, right? They can't talk about the evils of governments because that's dangerous, right? So it's like all of the, you know, in every single TV show and movie set in a courtroom, the judges are always on the up and up. They're always stern and, all right, I'm just going to give you a little rope, but you better make it quick. Bring it home, counselor. You know, they're always stern and fine and great and nice. Well, why? Well, because the media companies end up in court a lot, so they don't want to be bitching on judges or pointing out that judges can often be corrupt because they don't want to end up in front of a judge. And then, right? So, is nobody pointing out how on earth are you going to make money from a nuclear war? I mean, did I miss something? I did. My eyes were rolling like a Vegas slot machine on cocaine. But how are they supposed to make money? What, by selling shelters? So what? People are like, by selling these vaults? Like, why would they want to live underground in a vault? Why would they want to irradiate the entire planet? Like, the idea that private corporations are going to start nuclear wars? I mean, none of it made even the slightest bit of sense. But of course, it's all pro-state, right? It's all pro-state. See, without the government, it's all just a war of all against all, Hobbesian red and tooth and claw. It's the Wild West. Everyone just kills each other without the government. And it was corporations, not the governments, right? So before, when the government's in charge, it's utopia, right? It's like this 1950s paradise and everything's pastel colors and it's beautiful. That's when the governments are in charge. But when there's no government in charge, it's just a wasteland of violence and blah, 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 right? It was a military-industrial complex company, though. Yeah, but they provoked the war, didn't they? They launched the missiles. They literally blew up the planet. And why? like, we're just so driven by profit. And the way that we profit is to render all the money we make completely useless, unless they were paid in bottle caps. Isn't that the new currency, bottle caps? Pretty sure the corporation wasn't paid in bottle caps. So we're going to get paid all of this money, and then we're going to destroy all of the infrastructure that makes the money worth anything. What? Like, you understand, governments are in the business of starting wars, always. White war is the health of the state. Governments are in the business of starting wars because the government make all of these promises that they can't possibly fulfill, and then when those promises come due, they start a war so that people will accept austerity. I don't know. I used to respect this sort of quasi-socialists when they at least put a little bit of work into trying to make things vaguely credible, but yeah, we blew up the entire planet, including most of our friends and family, everywhere we lived, and everything that supported the profits and structure and income and resources that we made for profit. And it's like, oh, come on, man. This literally is like listening to a psycho who said, well, I had to kill and eat that woman because I loved her. And it's like, okay, you're just psycho, right? So yeah, I mean, none of it made a single tiny lick of sense at all. Embarrassingly bad. Ugh, gross. All right. You got any tips coming my way tonight? Working hard? With a raw throat? With a raw throat. You can tip in the app. You can tip online. You can also tip at freedomain.com/donate. freedomain.com/donate. Derp, they had all the money. It was about consolidating total control. But they didn't even do that. Like, none of it made any sense. And what's the point of having all the money if you blow up all the infrastructure that allows you to buy things? You can't buy anything. What's the point of having all the money if you blow up the planet and can't buy anything? Like, none of it made a tiny, tiny bit of sense. Like, not even a tiny bit. It was all completely insane. Well, they need an enemy, and they want the safest energy enemy. So, oh no, it's a capitalist company. Oh, it's an unnamed capitalist company, blah, blah, blah. Okay. You may have a little tip for my pal Steph. Thank you, my friend. That is a meaty tip, Mr. Ground Beef. Thank you. I appreciate that. Very kind. Very kind. I won't go super late tonight because I need my beauty sleep, and I'm waking up every morning like, hey, how's the voice doing? Oh. Oh, no. They'll show us the work in 75 years. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. They certainly will. I'm holding my breath. LOL, I can't explain communism. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I'm still doing better than, Paul Young blew out his voice for a whole year or two. Actually, because he had a lovely voice in the 80s. Wherever I Lay My Hat, he did a remake of that song and did some lovely work. Just completely blew his voice out and never quite got it back. I'm curious what they do with Mr. House, libertarian capitalist character, to see how anti-capitalist they decide to go in season 2. Yeah. Show your work. There's my work. There's my work. To fight the lack of energy with the colds, I've been like working out every day. Just because otherwise the energy is not peaking, to put it mildly. To put it oh so mildly. And happy to take, if you have any last questions or comments, I would be more than happy to spin them through the old spider web of brain work, known as the wet web between my ears. So I'll wait for a second here. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. Thank you for the tip. Justin. Just in time. I'm so glad you have a one-track mind like me. I mean, and you can see, like, people are gearing up for this stuff, right? I mean, the super billionaires are all becoming New Zealand bunker passport bros and getting ready to skip town and, right? Don't you feel, You know, like there's a predator in the grass called war and all the birds are taken to the skies. Steph, I just made a donation on freedomain.com/donate. Thanks for tonight's show. I'm always proud to be here with you. I always learn something from you. Thank you. Appreciate it. How do I remember every single day of my childhood? I don't know. You start with something you do remember and see what you can remember before or after it and just try and close the gap. I mean, I wish I didn't remember a lot of my childhood, but I do. That's why when I wrote a novel where three of the main characters are children. And I remember it all. And it's kind of important, I think. It's kind of important when you have kids to remember your own childhood, right? And photographs, I don't know what your age is, but these days people have a lot of photos and videos from their childhoods, right? And that can help. So we get these memories going. All right, it's going once. A lot of people typing, and I don't want to abandon you when you've got your big questions going. Yeah, I mean, corporations, first of all, they're state entities created to absolve people from personal responsibility for their own business corruption. It's not a free market thing at all. I go into this in my novel, The Future, which if you haven't read it, I'm reading through a bibliography now. Which novel are you referring to with the three children? Oh, it's The God of Atheists. It's The God of Atheists. The three main characters are children. It's a great book too. Although I did cut it too much. I have an original version that's uncut. I had an agent back in the day who was trying to get the novel sold because it got the most amazing reviews from the readers, but she told me to cut too much. So I recommend secondfreedomain.com/donate to buy and tip coins here on desktop. I assume there is less hands in the cash pot. Is that true? Freedomain.com/donate I think is the most efficient way, but you know, hey man, whatever works for you works for me with great gratitude. With great gratitude. All right. Let's see. I think my voice is kind of fading out. So, because I did do some audiobook reading today to finish it up, and it was some work. I'm very curious about the call-in topic that was tempting for you. It was tempting. Your guy said he was the second coming, and I was kind of tempted. But I don't think it's a good idea. Great show tonight. Gotta go and attend to my son who has just woken up. Been a pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Of course, if you're listening later, you can support the show. We got three hands on deck at the moment. Three people working here doing some fantastic stuff. Like all the stuff that's coming out that's really great. Like the shorts are coming out. The great research is coming out. A lot of the research was done by researchers for the Peaceful Parenting book. Super important stuff. Stephbot AI, the continued tuning and improvement of that. And wrangling of all of the various platforms. I've been fortunately outsourced so I can do more shows. We have, of course, the premium. So FDR Podcast is where you go to review past shows. There's a premium version of it where you can look and sort and get all of the really spicy premium shows. And all of that stuff is being programmed and organized by a whole bunch of people. And, you know, they all have to eat as well. So it's not just donating to the big chatty forehead. You're helping out people as a whole who are doing some fantastic work on the show. Also, people who are resurrecting the older shows. We had an archive of premium shows from 15 years ago on the old message board, and those are being dusted off and reprocessed and coming back to light. All of the new transcripts that are coming out as a result of great work that people are doing. So there is just wonderful, wonderful stuff that's going on, the scheduling and all this kind of stuff. So really, really do appreciate it. Are you still working on Napoleon presentation? It's at least 10 hours worth of material, and I don't know that the cost benefit is worth it. But I still think about it from time to time. I don't have a good answer for that right now. But nothing imminent for sure. So, all right. Thanks everyone so much. Freedomain.com/donate to help out the show later. I really appreciate it, my friends. Have yourself a glorious evening. Oh, yes, you can go to premium.freedomain.com. Premium.freedomain.com. You can have a look at all of the fantastic stuff that's available for donors. Just in the podcast section, there's a bunch of cool other stuff as well. But that's definitely a place that you want to check out. All right. Thanks, everyone. Lots of love. Take care. Bye.